We is going to have a good time today. Hallelujah. Good time. Hallelujah. Did we have a good time this morning or what? Good, good stuff. So funny some of the things he says. People, I get real quiet in the back late. It's new to me. I mean, and if you're saying it's not new to you, you're lying. It's new. I mean, and I'm a teacher. I listen, man. I listen. Pastor knows I listen, and I do what he's taught me to do. And you know, he said something so incredible today, because sometimes when there's stuff that I've heard, I never say, I thank God for this. At least not that I know of. They're off. That's wrong. I hear it, and I dig the scripture. For me to blatantly say, oh, they're off, that's wrong, that is flat-out rebellion. Flat-out rebellion. I always dig the scripture. And I give it time, and 99.99999% of the time, what I thought was off, I found later to be on. Neither here nor there. Got to be real careful how you handle things. But this is new to me, some of the stuff that's being taught. But at the same time, I shared some stuff with Pastor Bronk earlier this week. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but I've always held the light. Matthew 5 is, let your light so shine like a city set on a hill, or that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I've always held that light one-dimensional. I've always held it to mean, and it does mean what I thought it meant before, that you live out of that born-again spirit. You know, that's a testimony, but that's only part of it. But I'm not going to teach on that tonight, because I was going to touch on it because I think I can articulate it well enough. I think I can, but that's not what I feel the Holy Ghost wants me to share. And I wanted to go because I was really excited about it. I saw something plainly, and basically everything that he's been teaching, I told him, I said, I believed it because you were teaching it, but now I believe it because I see it. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. There's some things that, and I love talking with Kirsten and with Terry. We'll sit down, and I like to eat too. And me, Kirsten, and Terry, we can throw down sometimes when we get together, but they love talking the word. We could just sit there. We could just talk the word. And I love, and we all do, but especially Kirsten and Terry, when we get together, we just talk the word, man, and I love it. I love talking the word. And there's some stuff that I've just seen lately that it just, my God, made me do a Mexican split, man. Whatever a Mexican split is, I don't know what it is, but I did it. It's awesome when you can see it. You know, it's awesome when you can see it. Once I can see it, you can't take it from me because I see it. And there's some new stuff about that light that Pastor's been teaching. I can see it now. It's there's an image developing inside of me, but we're going to kick that to the curb for right now because that's not what I feel the Holy Ghost wants me to share. But I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I remember we used to deck this place out with kids. I mean, me and Carl used to have this place full. And you know what? It was, Lord, forgive me. How can I say it? It was sort of burdensome to me. You know, everybody fights. Somebody met with Carl a while back, and they said, well, why don't you come over here and help us build a youth group? You know, I heard Homer, you and Homer had a big youth group or whatever. But what they're trying to get, we've had. And I look forward to ministering to this small group of young adults more than anything in the world. I love it. I love it because I know you guys are hungry. I know you want more, and it's a delight to me. So sometimes we got 20, 24, 25 today. We probably got about 10, 12 maybe, but I mean, it doesn't faze me because I know the ones that are here are hungry for more of Jesus. So the Lord's teaching me some new stuff. I feel a shift coming. Again, Pastor said something today that really enlightened me. I do feel the same way that he feels, because there's been a shift in me as of lately a little bit. I'll always preach on the power of the rebirth. I'll always preach that. Then that's the gospel. I'll always preach that. But you can be so dogmatic in it that you got to watch it, because there's a lot more to the kingdom than just that. And I feel a shift coming in me where I'm going to start ministering more on what I hold to be the other side of the light, but it's not the other side of the light. It's one thought. but it's new to me. You with me a little bit? And I think he's going to shift me more in that direction because of what I saw the other day. And we know that sin has no dominion over us. We've heard it for, what, 20 years? And you'll hear it probably again, but that's not going to be really the main thrust of my preachings the coming years to come. There's going to be a shift in me where by now, my friends, when it comes to darkness, there ought to be a leap in our life, man. I can't sit here and preach don't for 20 more years. There has to be a maturity. There has to be a maturity. If there's not a maturity, there's nothing wrong with the word. There's nothing wrong with the message. There's something wrong with you. So today we're going to talk about sin, but we're going to talk about not sinning. That make any sense to you? It might in a little bit more. I had a good time this morning. I talked to Sarah this morning. Man, we had a good talk. Just, and by the way, her husband was up there on the doing praise and worship. Talked to her as a sister. Had a good talk talking to Des yesterday. Oh, my God. Such a sweet, meek lady. I had to ask her. It was a natural question, but I knew I was going to relate it over to the Spirit. Yeah, many of you know her. She's a real nice young lady. I said, Des, I know when we sit down to eat, you portion yourself. And I portion myself at times, but at times I've doubled my portion. So I said, Des, how do you do it, Des? She said, discipline. See, she's got a goal. I'm not even going to what her goal is. She's got a goal in life to be something in the track and field. She's got a goal. And she knows that comes by discipline. If she knows what she wants in life comes by discipline, how much more us as born-again, Holy Ghost-filled believers? What did Apostle Peter say? Add to your faith temperance. Temperance in Greek, self-control. That's why it's called a crucified life. Sometimes it hurts. Self-control, temperance, add that to your faith. He said, and you'll never fall. You'll never fall. I've been going through 1 Peter. And the other day I was going through 1 Peter and I stopped. I'd been going through it so much. I think I probably got it all memorized. I'm sure I do. Not because of any great mind that I have, but you go through a book 700-800 times, eventually you're going to get it. But I felt it. I asked God, I said, Lord, I've heard pastor preach on it, and I know I have the general idea of what the Apostle Peter's saying here. But there's something that I'm missing. And I got real quiet, and I'm not going to tell you the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice, but you know what the book is about? It's about Jesus. The apostles wrote the epistles about Jesus. That's all that they cared about was Jesus. Their lifestyle regarding Jesus. And I sat there real silent and a tear goes down my eyes all the time. When the wind blows, I cry. The other day when Harry broke loose at the piano the other day, talking about how he had a problem, he was scared to speak, and I turned around and I said to Sarah, don't cry. She said, no, you don't cry. You're the one that usually cries, Homer. But they had no platform, man. Jesus Christ, kept by the power of God unto salvation. Jesus, their lifestyle in Jesus. Epistles about how to let your light shine. Epistles on how to lay down our lives so that Christ Jesus would be magnified. Epistles about Jesus. One track mind. Jesus Christ. Unto the death. And I sat there numb in that little room there with a loud AC. Jesus. It's all they cared about. You might say, well, they cared about souls too. Yes, my friend, souls is included when you love Jesus. You can't love Jesus and not love people. because God and his word are one. We don't have a relationship with God if we don't keep his word. That is the biggest lie in the kingdom. You don't have a relationship with God the Father if you're not keeping his word, because his word and him, they're one. Anything else is a flat out lie. And I've been going through 1 Peter. And I behold the body of Christ. I behold it. And talked to one of my friends today out of state, not here. I got to be real careful because they hear these messages, but it's okay. He can't beat me up. I'll tell him Kevin's my bodyguard and he'll back down. I'll tell him Renee and Alex are my bodyguards. He'll laugh at me. Oh, mama. I hear him. Okay, what was I saying when I said bodyguard? I threw myself off. I spoke to a guy today, and I knew what was going on in his life. I like when Pastor Bronx said a while back, don't ask somebody how they're doing and make them lie to you. When they duck you and you're calling them, don't make them lie to you and make them tell you they're doing good, because you know they're not. And he said, I just got to fast more. I got to pray more, get rid of this junk in my life. Oh, wrong thing to tell me. I said, no, my brother. That was handled at the rebirth. I'm about to send you a teaching to help you with this. This is how it usually starts. And then I'm going to go on into the message. I didn't know he was going to take me in this direction. This is how it usually starts. And Pastor's so right. He said, you know when people are struggling, don't ask them how they're doing and make them lie to you. They can tell you, I'm doing great. No, you're not. This is how it usually starts in many cases. How it usually starts. First, they start getting to church whenever they want. Whatever time they want, they'll get here. In many cases now. Then Wednesdays will cease. After the Wednesday cease, then you'll get to church anytime you want on Sundays. And before you know it, Sundays are gone. And after the Sundays are gone, then the church is terrible. Then after that thought eats at you, then Pastor Bronk is terrible. And he's been more terrible than me because he preaches more than I do. So it's on him, not on me. Then all of a sudden, everybody in the church and their mother is a hypocrite. Isn't that the way it usually works? So how am I going to ask a person, how are you doing, when I already know how they're doing in general? So what do? Nothing. Love. We love. In the body of Christ, we have to see and we have to know what we're structured for to do in this life. What's in us? The example left to me and you. I'm not going to talk to you today about what you're doing wrong. I want to preach to you. The Bible tells me to preach the word of God. It means preach the gospel. I got to be real careful what I present. I got to make sure that I don't have a general ledger in my mind about you. Because it's easy to keep a general ledger in a mind regarding somebody in the body. I got to be real careful. If I have a general ledger about you where I'm judging you, I best just shut my mouth. Now, there will be times where there's certain things that are said and done that I know that I will exhort on that, as long as my conscience is clear. There's a difference. But if I have a general ledger in my mind regarding you, then I need to be quiet. Amen? But I'm not here to tell you that you're doing wrong. I'm here to tell you that we are to do right. See, the Ten Commandments, they're not 10 suggestions. They're 10 Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not 10 options. They're 10 Commandments. And they're written right here, baby. Right here. Right in our hearts. I want to be laughed at. I want to be mocked and reviled because of what I do in the kingdom. I don't want society to rag me and dog me because I'm transgressing them. That's the norm in the body of Christ. Let's be crucified. Let's be talked about. Let's be reviled because we don't waver. Because we do not, there's going to be ample opportunity in days to come in this country to prove that we belong to Jesus, my friend, because the heat is turning on against the true body of Christ more than ever. I offer no apology because I'm pro-life. I will back down from nobody because I say marriage is between a man and a woman. You'll get no apology from me. You'll get no apology from me saying that a man's not going to use the bathroom with my granddaughter. Sorry. I'll call Kevin and Carl and they'll take care of business. I offer no apology for that. Not here. I'm not going to go look for a fight with somebody. But that's my conviction. And if I'm asked, I'll tell. With no apology. But the time has always been for 2,000 years that we are talked about and hated because we do not waver from truth. We've been left an absolute positive example. We're so used to going through life talked about and reviled and judged and by the sinner because we're doing the sinners wrong. I want to get in trouble. I don't want to get thrown in jail, but if I'm going to get thrown in jail, let it be because I stood up for the kingdom. Let it be for that reason. Not because I went against kingdom principles. I'm structured for that. I'm born internally. I'm royal inside. I'm a peculiar person. Chosen of God, born of Him. Made completely different from the world because the Spirit of Almighty God indwells my human spirit. And Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 2. Remember, I don't want to lead you into a trail of what you're doing wrong, but I want to teach you what me and you are going to do right. Peter said this towards the end of chapter 2, 1 Peter. He said, but if ye do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, giving us an example. The example was this, that he suffered for doing well. You know, it's the heart cry of heaven that we suffer here on earth, not physically, because he that has suffered in the flesh has what? Has ceased from sin. You mean it's your will, Heavenly Father, that I suffer here on this earth? Yes, it is. Not physically. Not sick. But he that suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. We've been given an example. We see the example in the scripture. The example is written in our heart through the nature of God. But if ye do well, if ye do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. For even hereunto were you called, Carl Ellie, that you should follow his footsteps, his steps, who did no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. When's the last time outside of this church that you've heard of an example that Jesus did no sin and that we're to follow his example? That's not taught. He left me and you an example that we should follow his steps, Peter said, regarding Jesus. He left us an example. He left Des. He left Terry. He left me. He left me an example that I should follow his steps, who did no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed to him who judges righteously, who his own self bear, listen to this, bear in his, he didn't say bear it on his body, he said he bear it in his body. In his body he bore it. But we've been given an example, a prototype, who always did well regardless of what he faced. That's our example. He always did well. And that is acceptable to God. See, we're so used to doing wrong and suffering for it. I can't take 1 John chapter 1, 9 from you. I don't have that right. But what if we don't have to use that verse so much and wear it out? What if we can stand firm in our conviction and endure it because we know what's at stake? What if we're persecuted for doing well? You don't think we could turn this world, and I'm talking about what I call right now the one dimension of the light. There's another part of that light, which isn't the second dimension, but to me, the first dimension is obedience. But there's a lot more to it, my brothers and sisters, than that. And Pastor Bronk has been teaching it. But what if I'm talked about for hanging on to integrity? What if I'm thrown in jail because I won't stop preaching Jesus? What if I'm thrown in jail for saying that I'm pro-life all the way? My problem has never been, I got ripped one time on Facebook for talking about, he said, well, you're judging women. I'm not judging a woman for that aborted a baby. I've paid for an abortion out of my pocket. I would have 7 kids today. I paid for an abortion out of my pocket. I would have 7 kids. I'd have about a 33-year-old daughter or son that's somewhere in heaven. And I often tell Jesus, tell him I said hi and that I'm sorry. My beef is not with a woman that's made that mistake. I'm standing up for the little one that was aborted. My problem isn't a woman. The blood of Jesus can cleanse her. He cleansed me. If I'm a bigot or if I'm a deplorable because I believe in standing up for children, then let it be. Then let me be a deplorable. We got to stand up for what is right. We got to live according to what is right and get out of the gutter. Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's not the struggle of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. We're not called to barely hang on. If you're barely hanging on, that means you're living, you're kicking to the curb the inward witness and living in the flesh. It's the power, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is not the struggle of God unto salvation. It's not his fault that we got a million other things to do than to spend time with him. It's not his fault. It's not his fault that the word is kicked to the curb. It's not his fault. We ought to be to the point now where immorality is out the door, where sexual immorality, where I got to watch what I say. Well, not really. Not really. Surely, man, surely what we're taught, and even if we didn't hear what we're taught, even if Pastor Bronk was teaching something else, you're still free. Spiritual law took place when you said, Jesus, you are the Christ. Bam, immediately you were set free from sin. The life of God came in and dwelt you. So even if Pastor Bronk was off, you still have no excuse because you've been born again. Spiritual law took its course. I want to be talked about. I don't want to be hated, but if I'm hated because of the gospel, then I'm okay. But if ye do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ once suffered the just for the unjust. that he might bring us unto God. Peter also said this. He said that judgment must begin in the house of God first. Why in us first? You know why, my friends? Because we have the glory of God inside of us. When I say the glory of God, I mean we have his life inside of us. We set the tone here on earth. We live holy. If we're going to be ridiculed and reviled and railed on, let it be because we're doing well. This is acceptable unto the Lord. This is acceptable to him that we're talked about and hated. Now, who wants to be hated? But if I'm hated and I'm talked about, don't let the world revile me because I left my wife. I don't want to give them a reason to be right about my actions. I want to give them a reason to be wrong about my actions. But if you do well, if you do well, if you do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God because you lived your life out of his glory. See, we're the ones that have God inside of our heart, the word of God written in our hearts and in our minds. We're the ones that have a conscience. We're the ones that know better. That's why judgment must begin in the house of God first. We're the ones that have God inside of us. The world doesn't. We let our light shine so that he would be glorified, so that they would see God in us. And when they see God in us, if there's a chance, if they're vulnerable, if they're looking for something, they'll find it when they see our conduct in the Almighty God. That's why I said abstain. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. In other words, don't do them. Abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. Now, Pastor Bronk might know. I don't know. I don't know why he said soul instead of spirit. Do you know, Pastor? I don't know. Unless it's something different in the Greek. I don't know. Yeah, you feel he said abstain from flesh and lust with war against the spirit, but I don't know, but I get what he's saying though. He said abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Okay, that's why he's the head pastor. He said that's where the emotions are at. They war against that place. He said don't do them. Don't do it. But I got to fast more. I got to pray more. You're right, but don't do it. Don't do it. Abstain. He said they war. They war against the soul. They war, and that word war means just that, war. Our flesh wars against our soul. But he said, abstain from it. You got the glory of God inside of you. You got the power to abstain it, to abstain from it, because the glory of God lives in you. It rests upon you. That is the differential. And it's a huge differential from us and the world. Let's be reviled. Let's be talked about for Jesus' sake. Not being since ruled. Emotions want to be our daddy, probably to the day we die. Sorry, emotions, I already have a daddy. And his name is God the Father. And I have a perfect prototype emotions. And his name is Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be talked about, if I'm going to be hated, I want it to be because I live my life according to truth, even when it hurts. See, it's real easy to do what's right when you feel like doing what's right. That's why I say, when a person, listen to me carefully. I hope I can articulate this well. When a person doesn't pray or spend time with Jesus because they don't feel like it. When a person does not spend time with Christ because they don't feel like it, when sin comes knocking at the door and you feel like sinning, guess what you're going to do? You're going to sin. Because your life is based on your senses. Did you understand that? Though you still have the power of God in you, not to sin. But 9 out of 10, my friends, if you're a person that sense ruled and you don't spend time with Jesus because you don't feel like it, when you do feel like sinning, you're going to sin. Because you're sense ruled. You're so sense ruled. Now, for 6 or 7 months, I had a hard time in that prayer closet. I didn't stop, though. Maybe a little bit longer, I didn't stop. And here recently, it's been real good. Hey, it's been real good. Revelation is just, it's coming out. But you talk about months, man. Months of, and I'm sure there's going to be other months that come that they're going to be. We cannot be sense ruled. When Jesus said, let us go over into the other side, in 3 of the Gospels, the boat began to be filled with water, the waves and the sea began to talk. Master, Master, save us. We perish. Got up. Peace be still. What manner of man is this? Even the waves and the sea. You know what manner of man that was? It was the man that was not sense ruled. He did not let elements move him. What manner of man is this? A man of faith that was not sense ruled. Like Pastor says, Jesus didn't do things randomly. Jesus was given a directive from the Father. And he knew the directive from the Father was, go to the other side. There's a man that's been tormented by demons for a long time. Son, go liberate him. He received a directive from the Father. When he said, we're going to the other side, that was done, man. They were going to the other side. They were going to the other side. One of the Gospels says, he commanded them, let us go. I don't know what that word is in the Greek. He said, he commanded them, let us go unto the other side. Went to sleep during a tropical depression. Went to sleep. Master, Master, save us, we perish. Who told you you were perishing? But your senses? Who told you you were about to croak? But your emotions? He was in the same boat, same waves, same sea, but was not sense ruled, lived his life out of his spirit. Oh, peace be still. What manner of man is this? A man of faith that was not sense ruled. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that through the atonement I see. I thank you through the atonement, Father. I have perfect eyesight. What do you think comes along with that confession? My flesh wants to whisper. Contradicting the very thing that I am. You with me? Emotions. 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 See, Jesus knew where the attack was from, the waves and the sea and the wind. If the Father gave him directive to go to the other side, then I'm just saying tropical depression, I don't know what else to say. He knew it didn't come from God. It had to come from somewhere else. He knew it came from Satan. No big deal, Satan, you caused the waves to move. I'm going to cause them to be still. We're going to the other side. Simon Peter walking on water, He looked at the elements. He looked at the boisterous waves and the wind. He was doing good when his eyes were focused on the word of Christ. He was doing real good. Is it Jesus' fault that sometimes we're sense ruled? No, it's not his fault. But we're being taught so well. We're learning that senses, emotions, it's what we lay on the cross. We're concluding that we're going to be hated and talked about and reviled and put on the chopping block. We're concluding, let it be, Father. Because I always looked into that law of liberty and walked in love. And I didn't waver, Lord, because I knew, Father, what was at stake. Emotions come to contradict everything that God is, our flesh does, everything that he is. They come to contradict it. You have to know this, my friend. You have to know this. If you don't, you're going to struggle the rest of your Christian life. But if ye do well and don't give heed to your emotions and you suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. For even hereunto are you called. We're called unto this. Left us a perfect example of how me and you were to live our lives in him. Perfect, perfect example. I'll close with this. Was the book of 1 Peter written to unbelievers or to believers? You better know the answer to that question. Believers. But yet he said, render not evil for evil. He told a believer, don't render evil back to an evil person or railing for railing. Contrarywise, blessing. No one hereunto will you call that you should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. A Christian then can do evil if he allows himself to do evil. First Peter was written to Christians. He said, don't render evil to the world that hates you. Render love to them. Don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. On the contrary, endure it. Live it. For the Spirit of God and of glory, he rests upon you. Therein lies your sufficiency. When they speak evil of you, handle it out of that incorruptible seed. Handle it out of God's word. Even if it hurts, even if it's hard, do it. Handle it. We've been commissioned, we've been commanded not to be sense ruled. The end result of all this, the world's already speaking evil of us. We're bigots now. I don't even know what half the other words mean that they say on TV. I know we're hated. And it seems that it's caving in on us. But not inside. We're going to have ample opportunity in these days to come to let our light shine, my friends. Oh my God, it's here now. It is here now. And if you're having a hard time now, my friends, don't worry. That persecution won't come at you. You don't have to worry about it. Because if you're folding now when the leaves on the tree are real green, when the pressure comes up, you'll fold. You'll fold. You'll give in. The leaves on the tree are real green right now. It's easy. We can go and say and do what we want right now. If you're having a hard time now, unless you repent, you'll fold. You'll fold. But I say that me, along with you, that in days to come, we're going to do well. We're not going to deviate from the love of God. We will see whatever your preference is, revival or an external manifestation in God's kingdom. We will see it. Nothing else in the world is going to bring salvation to this country than the true raw power of the Almighty God. We've had words for a long time. No morals at home anymore. I heard a thing the other day, and I'm closing. 51% of girls in Orange County, Florida, at the age of 15, has lost their virginity. 81% of young ladies in Orange County, Florida, by the age of 19, 81% or 91% have lost their virginity. No morals anymore. I told Dez that we had a real good talk. Man, that young lady's awesome. Nothing to do with her physical ability. Nothing to do with that. I heard her. She's real meek. I said, Dez, we need some champions. I'm a proud, proud Hispanic. I'm so proud. But we don't have many spiritual champions because we have so much culture inside of us instead of kingdom principles. We have so much culture inside of us, and we're scared to let it go because of persecution. I told this as a Dez, whether you like it or not, you have a platform, sister. You have a platform. And it's so funny with the reaction she gave me back. That's between us. That's between her, me, my wife, and Carl. We had a wonderful time. Young people, we need some spiritual champions. Not those that are opinionated, but those that live by God's holy, holy, undefiled word. I love what Pastor said today about debating. Oh, that was so awesome. I'm glad I stopped debating about 3 or 4 years ago. Because I was bad. I was real bad. We were real, real, real bad. And it still tries to get to me nowadays because people want to debate me. And I want to take a shot at them and say, well, I'm not debating because I'm scared of you. I'm just not going to debate you because it's the right thing to do. In a bad sense, you know what I'm saying? I'm not scared of you. I can defend myself. I just don't say nothing. All a debate does is prove that you're prideful. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Go on to the next person that does want to hear it. Jesus Christ crucified. And the power of God unto salvation. I say with me and you that in days to come, it will be easy to do that which is right. To suffer for it. It gets easier and easier and easier and easier. Me and Sarah were talking this morning, and there's things happening that I haven't even told Pastor Bronk. I haven't told nobody but me and my wife. Nobody. Me and my wife were talking about it the other day. I said, baby, isn't it amazing? We still hold hands and we still laugh. If you only knew. But at the same time, we're all going through personal struggles. But as long as you hang on to that struggle in the spirit, you won't even know it's a struggle. But step outside of that spirit, man, and go into the flesh, that struggle will consume you. It will consume you. Keep your appointments, friends. Keep your appointments no matter what. Keep your appointments. Because trust me, Satan will keep his. and you are his appointment. But if you're his appointment and you keep your appointment with him, his appointment with you will be of no avail because you kept your appointment. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith, not in isolation, not in complacency. Resist him steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter chapter 5. Resist him in the faith. If you're in complacency, you're his lunch. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. You're not humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God unless you resist Satan in the faith. Meaning, hear and do. Never deviating from the word of God. We're going to be laughed at, talked about, and hated. Oh, let them rip us because we're doing well. He said you can leap and jump for joy, for great, great is your reward in heaven. Matthew said in Matthew 5, if you do and teach, you shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I don't care if Pastor Bronk calls me great or not. God's going to call me great one day. And that's not doing and teaching, teaching with your mouth from a pulpit. My friend, the teaching is the doing. Well, I just want to teach. Well, you can teach all you want and not do, and it's vanity. He said, if you do the word of God, you're teaching the word of God, and you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. When we go to that other side, Homer, I saw how they persecuted you. I saw the pressure against you, but Homer, you didn't deviate from me because you loved me. If you do and teach, you'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The teaching was demonstrated because we did the word. That was the teaching. Many teach that don't do. Woo. I don't know where that came from. Candy who? Are you with me? But if you do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. Well, then what if I suffer for not doing well? If doing well and suffering and taking it patiently is acceptable unto God, then what isn't acceptable to God? When I don't do well and I suffer for it, because we didn't live out of that glory. You with me? So let's do that which is acceptable unto God. After all, there's billions of people waiting to be saved. This is dimension one to an extent of the light. There really is only one true purpose or true meaning of what it is to walk in the light, but this is new to me. The other so-called part of the light is what he's been teaching for the last 2 or 3, 4 or 5 months. The power of the kingdom. You're going to come to me when I have no face and no arms with words. If Carl comes to me preaching the gospel to me and I have no eyes, no face, and no arms, and I'm in a wheelchair for the rest of my life and comes to me with words, I'm probably going to tell him about his mother. No, I will tell him about his mother. But if Alex comes to me and says, Homer, but your eyes, and here's a set of arms for you. Rise up. I'm going to jump up, and I'm going to glorify his Father that's in heaven. My God, there is a God. That, my friends, is letting your light shine on the other side. That's the other side. Well, not really, but really, it's new to me. I can see it now clearly. Letting your light shine is not just the obedience of the word of God. It is, but it isn't all that it means to let your light shine. You raise me up from a wheelchair, my friend. You won't see if I won't get up glorifying God. That's the other half somewhat that has been missing for years and years and years and years and years. And when it happens, can you imagine? I'm going to run to my neighbor's house. Hector! Hector! Remember I told you that baseball game one day that you were going to walk one day? Get up. Come over here right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. You don't think he's going to want to rise up and lift up his hands and worship the God that I said would raise him up out of that wheelchair? That's the other side or the full definition of letting our light shine like a city set on a hill. Enough said. Enough said of that. That's what's going to come forth for me from now on. He's shifting me inside. He's a, okay, that's sin, yes, but there's more to the kingdom of God than me telling you, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. That power was given to us at the rebirth. There's more to it now as kings and priests. Amen. But if when ye do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. Glory. Amen. Get something out of it?
Yes.
All right. Stand with me, please. Who? Book. Oh, now. Nah. Do you see Dez how he is? Bookaloo. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Father. We thank you that through you in us, Father, we have the power to do well and to bring you glory, Father. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your love, for your mercy. We thank you for each other. We look forward to Wednesday night, Father, at 7 o'clock. Worship you and praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.